John chapter number 14 and verse number 12. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible tonight. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Then verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Then John chapter number 16, verse number 7. Let's read a few more verses concerning the Holy Spirit and the promise of his coming. John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye shall see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Scripture. Thank you for the Bible that you've allowed us to have. The freedom that we have in this country, Lord, we have so many copies of the Bible around, so many things available to us. Lord, we take it for granted. And there's many, many Christians in many countries, Lord, that to gather together as best they can when they can. And Lord, they're persecuted. Sometimes they have no Bible. Sometimes they have a page or two of the Bible. And Lord, how precious the Word of God is. Thank you that we are allowed to have it. May we not take it for granted. And may you bless it tonight as we study the words of God in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, I don't know where this is going to stop now. I sat down at my computer early this morning and I wanted to get a sense of the number of Wednesdays I had left. I had targeted October, November, and December. And I said, let's just spend those 3 months on Wednesday nights counting our blessings. And so I began to list my blessings and the blessings that were brought to mind and some of the things that we ought to probably take a whole Wednesday night for and say thank you. But the problem is I'm well into June already with my list. And I said, now how am I going to decide which of these to cover and which not to cover? And it was almost like God said, well, you know what? Worse things would happen than if a group of people would gather every Wednesday night for the next 6 months and just count their blessings. So I guess I just said, Lord, whenever you tell me to get off this horse, we'll get off of it, but we'll see how far down the road it takes us. I want to take a Wednesday night and just count this blessing. What a blessing for the born-again Christian, and that's the presence of the Holy Spirit of God within us. What a blessing that is. Of all of the things that God has done and all of the gifts that he's given us that's connected to salvation, to offer a member of the triune God to inhabit us and to possess us and to be with us. Well, I don't know if there is a greater gift that comes along with salvation than that. Salvation is not something that we have that's far away. It's more meaningful, more personal than that, because God imparted to you the day that you got saved. God gave you of his Spirit to indwell you from that day forward. Now, until you get saved, you don't really understand the importance of that. And people that are not saved, they need the help of the Holy Spirit to live right. Well, I'd get saved, but I can't. I get saved if I thought that I could live it, but I don't think I can live it, so I'm not going to get saved. Well, that's because you're making the judgment based on who you are now without the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Of course you can't live it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Of course you can't. But everything changes. The Holy Spirit of God comes in and rebirths our dead spirit. Then he takes up a residence inside of us. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to seal you to the day of repentance. I'm going to become the earnest of your salvation. But I'm not just going to be here to secure your eternal soul. I'm going to be here as a companion for the rest of your earthly life. And so I'm going to take the journey with you. Now, on purpose, he doesn't exalt himself. The Bible said in some of the closing verses, Jesus said, "He shall glorify me." So we're not a church that talks overly about the Holy Spirit, but I do want our people to know who he is. I do want our people to recognize who he is. But he's not in the business of promoting himself. He's in the business of lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's not going to promote himself a lot, but he's there, and he is as much a person of the triune God as God the Father and God the Son. And it would be wrong for us not to recognize him and understand that he's there and communicate with him and talk to him. Nothing sinful or wrong about speaking to the Holy Spirit. Somebody came up years ago with this little formula that I don't agree with, you know, where you're only allowed to talk to one member of the triune God. Well, you're just going to have to forgive me because I talked to all of them, all right? And I guess if I get to heaven I wasn't supposed to, I can go, oops. But until then, I think it's probably okay, because the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a person, of the Holy Spirit of God. And he's the one that took up residence inside of me. Now, why would I walk the rest of my life on this earth and never talk to him, never speak to him? Thank God for the Spirit of God. And so that's a blessing. Now, until you have that, you're going to struggle. Nothing sadder in the world. And the preacher just floats this out every once in a while. You're probably all fine. You're all saved. But you know what? There's going to be a lot of church members that are in hell. And they're not all going to be church members of non-Baptist denominational churches. There's going to be a lot of Baptist church members in hell. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And so every once in a while, your pastor mentions along these lines. But nothing in the world more hard. Nothing harder in the world than to try to help grow somebody spiritually that doesn't have a reborn spirit. Matter of fact, it's pretty much impossible. You know, I wonder why I struggle so much spiritually. Well, maybe it's because you're trying to shake awake something the Holy Spirit hadn't reborn yet. If you try in a lost condition to be spiritual, you end up coming up with something like Oprah Winfrey, who talks a lot about spirituality, but her spirit's dead. And you end up in a bunch of hocus pocus and a bunch of nonsense and a bunch of crazy ideas because you're seeking a spiritual life with a dead spirit. And I think sometimes I see Christians, I don't mean going through a hard time, I don't mean every once in a while, I just mean you hear your preacher say every once in a while, well, how come I just can never find a spiritual pulse on some people that claim to be born again? Yeah. Now, I know all of our journey is a little different, but the Holy Spirit's consistent, God's consistent, Christ is consistent, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning with him. So there's some things that are very consistent in the way that he deals with his children. And when I don't see those things, and I see no evidence, no care, the spiritual thing, people just kind of go into blank stare mode when you're talking about spiritual things. You just think, you know what, light's on, nobody's home. All I'm saying is this, folks, you know what? If you're not saved, get saved. Nothing better in the world than being born again. And part of the blessing that comes with that means, you know, I gave you testimony, and Austin's not ashamed of it. He wanted to be publicly baptized. But you know what Austin was trying to do for a lot of years? He was trying to figure out how to live a spiritual life with a dead spirit. It wasn't going so well, was it? Pray for Ariana. Ariana, she's struggling a little bit in school. School was great for 9 weeks, then I think she got used to it and decided that. So she's been getting a little bit of, just a little bit, you know, come on, she's fine. But bringing a little bit of problem home, a little note from the teacher every once in a while, and mostly for, now this is Amanda's daughter, mostly for talking. We're shocked. We really are. We're just shocked. I can tell, I don't have to ask when my wife's on the phone with Amanda, because when she's with the other daughter, she's talking with, she's Amanda, she's going, really? Okay. And so I don't know if she's got anybody to blame for herself, but I really, when we go visit there, I want to do some investigation, because I think the teacher's just picking on her, is what I think. That's probably what's really happening there. The teacher's just, the principal's got it in for my granddaughter. That's probably what's going on here. And and Amanda's a little frustrated. You know, Dad, he was doing so good. And I thought the other day, I thought, you know, she's going to do a lot better when she gets saved. Come on now. And she'll get a lot, she'll do a lot better. I mean, you know, you manage the situation, but I don't care how wonderful your grandchildren are, folks, they're born lost. And they're lost till they get saved. And you're dealing with the natural man. That's all you got to deal with. That's why you want to pray that your children get saved. Not push that they get saved, pray that they get saved. And ask God to bring them under Holy Spirit conviction and bring them to that point where they're truly born again. Because all of a sudden, when you got the Holy Spirit in somebody, man alive, you got something you can work with. And you got God inside of them. You got the Holy Spirit's working in their life. Now, I do bring this up from time to time. I've often told you, I think the worst nightmare for most pastors would be the fact that they would get to heaven and find out people that was in their church for years weren't really saved. Well, preacher, I've doubted it and I've struggled with it, and the honest truth is I'm almost convinced I'm not. Well, don't live like that. Maybe you just need the assurance of your salvation. Maybe you need to be born again. But don't live like that. You need to know that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're born again. A little hard to help other people get saved if you spend all your time fretting over whether or not you're saved. And so, and you'd be shocked. In fact, I'll just help you right now. How many of you at some point in your Christian life, you were saved, but at some point in your Christian life, you struggle with doubts about your salvation? Raise your hand. All right, now you don't feel so alone? Okay, you good? And so don't be embarrassed about, nothing to hang your head about, nothing to be ashamed about. The devil's good at what he does. Sometimes we're like, well, is it the devil trying to bring doubts that I'm not... and I am saved and he's trying to get me to doubt, or is it the Holy Spirit bringing conviction? And by the way, there's some biblical answers so that you can discern which is which. And so that's why you ought to talk to people and talk to somebody, get some counsel, come in and talk to your pastor. And I want you to know that for sure. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so it's great when you get saved, because one of the benefits, one of the blessings that we're going to count tonight is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God that goes with the believer day in, day out, and lives inside of us, takes up residence, counts as his temple, our body, from that point forward and till we breathe our last breath. And then I think it's the Holy Spirit of God that helps accompany the soul to heaven. And what a wonderful thing that is. The Holy Spirit gives us a lot of things. Now, he is the earnest of our salvation. He seals us to the day of redemption. But let me give you some practical blessings, just some everyday blessings that come with being saved and having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will provide you with divine comfort, with divine comfort. I like this name, this title that Jesus gives the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 of chapter 14, John, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, capital C, comforter, that he may abide with you. Verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. So if there's any doubt who he was talking about, verse 26 identifies, who is this comforter, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost? And one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, one of the things he does for us that's a blessing in our life, is he provides us with divine comfort. How many of you have figured out there's a lot of heartache in life? There's just a lot of heartache in life. I mean, it just comes with the territory. It's part of the sin curse. It's part of what we deal with. Some of it is of our own making. Some of it is because of the decisions of others. And some of it is just because of the curse of sin and the rampage that Satan's on all of the time. But you know what, folks? It just seems like something negative is touching your life on a regular basis. Maybe of your doing, maybe not of your doing. Maybe you're as innocent as can be, and yet the consequences of somebody else's decision. But there is a lot of heartache in life. There's sorrow. Sickness is a part of being on this earth. These temples of clay are under the curse of sin. And you know what? They're not going to do anything. Someone said, well, did you hear about so-and-so? They're dying. I want to say, folks, did you hear about everybody? We're all dying. What, you know, some of us know it, some of us don't. But, you know, you're born to die, you know, and your bodies are, they're going to deteriorate. That's just the way it is. And that's why, you know, I meet people. Well, my great grandmother was 97, and she was on her, and she was sick, and I prayed that God would heal her, and He didn't answer my prayer, and now I'm bitter against God. Well, okay, how many times was she supposed to live to 300? I mean, you know, at some point, it's appointed unto man once to die, and if she would made it to 97, that's pretty generous. And by the way, He did heal her. She was a born again. He did heal her if she was a born again Christian. That's one of the blessings that you can share sometimes at during the grieving process. Because, well, I prayed that they'd be healed. Well, they've never been better in their life than they are right now. Praise the Lord. And so God did heal them. But at the same time, the heartache that goes with loss and the heartache that goes with life and the suffering that just seems like it's built in and part of the curse of sin on this old world. Folks, we need a divine comforter. And there's nothing quite like the Holy Spirit. Maybe He's at His very best during times of loss and times of sorrow and times of heartache. And have you ever looked back at a stretch of your life and just say, how in the world did I get through that? Well, you didn't. He got you through it. He carried you through it. He packed you through it. He walked you through it. He held you up. And sometimes you look ahead and you say, there's no way I can get through the next 5 days. But guess what? 5 days later, you look back and say, the grace of God. God was good. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's His profession. That's His title. I'm gonna be there. I'm going to comfort you. And what a wonderful thing when that supernatural working occurs in our life, and there's no explanation for it. There's no way anybody can put it in words. If you've experienced it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, one of these days you will. But you're going to go through something that's going to take everything you've got out of you, and you don't know how you're going to make it till the next time the sun rises. Preacher, it's midnight at noonday, and I'm never going to be able to hold my head up. I'm never going to be able to see clearly. I'm never going to be able to stop weeping, and yet the Comforter comes. And He draws alongside us, and He begins that sweet healing process that is really a divine miracle of God. And He gets us through things. And not only gets us through it, but just when we think, well, we'll never be able to do it, but all of a sudden, not only does He get it through us, but He makes us stronger and better and wiser and closer to God. So He takes something that has the potential of being devastating in our life and turns it into good in our life. What a blessing that is. The Holy Spirit provides us with divine comfort. What a blessing. Number two, the Holy Spirit provides me with divine instruction. Did you look at verse number 26 of chapter 14? The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So He teaches us things, and then He brings to our mind, to our remembrance, things that we've heard in the past, and He brings them to our mind when we need to be reminded of them. Have you ever been going through something and you're searching for an answer, and a phrase that was said in a sermon 6 months ago all of a sudden comes back to your memory with complete clarity? Have you ever been searching for an answer and a scripture you haven't read in months and months all of a sudden is brought back to your remembrance? Have you ever been discouraged and all of a sudden an illustration that you heard 3 decades ago in a revival meeting that you'd forgotten about, all of a sudden God takes that nugget of truth and brings it back to your memory just when you needed it? That is not happenstance. That is not a coincidence. That is the workings of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. He teaches us, and then He brings things to our remembrance. And He brings us things to us that we need at that moment. Let me have you go over and save your place there in John. We'll be back there in John 14 and 16. But go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And I want to show you one of the great teachings in the Bible concerning the job of the Holy Spirit of God in this matter of helping us with divine instruction. This book here is a divine book. It's a supernatural book. And you know what? The natural man cannot understand what is contained in this book. I'm going to approach the Bible, but I'm going to approach it on an intellectual level. Well, you know what? Good luck with that. You're going to have a tough time understanding that. Before I got saved, I read the Bible and never could understand. I've tried reading the Bible. You hear lost people say, I tried reading the Bible. I can't understand it. Well, of course you can't. Because the Holy Spirit, one of His jobs is to help teach you the Bible. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, I wish I could read and teach the whole chapter, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That's not talking about heaven, by the way. That's talking about the things that are contained in the Bible. God has prepared for some things for us in the Word of God, for them that love Him, that He will show us as we study the Scriptures. But we won't learn them through man's intellect or man's wisdom. We're going to learn them only when we employ the Holy Spirit of God as a tutor in our life. Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us. How? By His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. See, I don't always understand what this book means, but I've got somebody inside of me that understands exactly what everything means in this book. What an exciting thing. But I'm not going to pray to Him and ask Him to help me to understand before I start reading. I'm not going to employ His services. How about this? Verse 12. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, let me just stop there. I'm going to tell you something. When somebody gets to the point, and I have said this, if you get my book, The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, there's a layman's guide to studying the Bible, an entry-level guide to studying the Bible that I've written for teenagers. It'll work for adults, by the way. If you're reading your Bible, I'm glad. If you're not, start reading your Bible. But at some point, the serious Christian goes from just reading the Bible, learning to study the Bible on their own. Everybody in here needs to spend time studying the Word of God. Now, you say, well, preacher, I don't even know where to start. Well, that's why I told you there's a guide in the book there, and it'll help you. But what's neat about it is you study the Bible, and the way you study the Bible is by comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. I will have you wait there a second. Let me just turn over to it because I don't want you to lose that spot. But let me explain something. God doesn't give you the deep things of God if you're just going to have a casual relationship with the Bible. Now, I'm going to read out of Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, that's a lot of ifs. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For God giveth wisdom, out of the mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. But He said, okay, I want to give you the deep things. But you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to be willing to receive them. You're going to have to hide the commandments. You're going to have to cline your ear, apply your heart, cry after knowledge, lift up your voice, seek her as silver, search for her as for hid treasures. When I see you get serious enough, and you want it bad enough, and you're willing to take the time and put the time in to study it, I'll teach you some things that are beyond elementary, kindergarten level Christianity stuff. But if you're not, I won't. You know how deep of a relationship you have with the Word of God? As deep as you choose. But let me say this. Having done all of those things, it is still the job, verse 13, of the Holy Spirit. And when you begin, I want to just listen. I read the Bible, the Spirit of God helps me. I mean that. But when I study the Bible, He gets excited. Yeah. When the Holy Spirit sees somebody come to this book and say, and I'll tell you what, I don't want to just have a casual relationship with the Bible. I want to know this book. I want to study it, God. And we take the time to begin to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Have you ever noticed that the way God constructed the Word of God on purpose, you have to seek, you have to search, you have to dig? He didn't make it easy. What if he did, he would have had everything about one subject in one chapter or two chapters or all together in one place. Well, preacher, why didn't he do that? Why didn't he scatter it around? Because he wants you to dig. Because he wants you to search. Same reason Jesus taught in parables. People that didn't really want to know, they weren't going to figure it out. People that had ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Spirit saith. Okay? You know what? He's going to reward somebody. I'll pour water on him that is thirsty. I'll pour floods upon the dry ground. Man, I'd like to see a revival amongst our young people and a revival amongst our young adults of kids that get excited about this book and decide they're going to go into it and find out what it says. I mean dig. I mean study. I mean get it. But I'm going to tell you something. When you begin to study the Bible, one of the sweet things about studying the Bible is not just your interaction with the Word of God, it's the willing participation of the Holy Spirit of God. He gets excited. I mean, he gets excited when he sees somebody studying the Bible. And you know what? As you're comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, he will, in that still small voice, show you things and teach you things, and to the point where sometimes it's to overflowing. I can get lost studying the Bible. I can get lost studying the Bible. I can look up and 3 hours have gone by and it feels like 30 minutes have gone by. I get in my office sometimes get into things where I'm comparing scripture and there's so much flowing out of those scriptures that I literally have to push myself away from my desk, stand up, because when I think, I got to walk when I'm thinking. And so I'm surprised we haven't had to replace the carpet in this. And we bought good carpet. We bought good carpet. Because, you know what, it's like you'll study and your mind will get so full and then the Holy Spirit says, okay, time out. You got to think this through. Let me teach you some things. And he shows you this, he shows you this, and he shows you this. I've said this before, but studying the Bible is like you get curious about what's behind a door. So you ask the Holy Spirit to show you and you open the door. And what's behind that door is a room with 10 doors. And you're so excited because he didn't show you one thing. He showed you 10 things, or at least the beginning of 10 things. And I want to know what's behind all 10 of the door. But, you know, my little finite mind, I can't open all 10 doors. So I'll just choose this one and learn it. Then I'll run back and learn the other 9. So I open that door, and there's another room with 10 doors. Now, do I go back in the room and finish the 9, or do I go see what's in? And you know what? You'll do that the rest of your life. And we'll get to heaven and realize that the best of us, the most scholarly, the most dedicated studiers of the Word of God, students of the Bible, scraped the surface of the wisdom of God while they were here on this earth. But there's something wonderful about relationship that you build with the Spirit of God as you study the Bible. And so Sunday school teachers, please look at me. And listen to me. I know we provide you Sunday school curriculum and material, and we try to make it, you know, somewhat. But don't listen. You're robbing your students if you did not interact with the Holy Spirit of God and allowing Him to cause to come to light the truths that you're trying to teach in that class. Okay. You know why I'm energized tonight? You know why this is exciting to me? Because the stuff that I'm teaching you now, I learned sitting at the feet of the Holy Spirit of God as He taught me and as He showed me and as He teaches me things. And it's exciting to me. People want to say, oh, the Bible's a boring book. You know what? You're a boring person. Let me just say that. You know, you're so carnal, so shallow, have such a strained relationship with the Spirit of God. Good night. You're robbing yourself of some precious things. Dive in. Find a subject. Well, I don't get it. Well, I just don't understand. You know why you don't understand? You don't want to understand. You want to do what you want to do. It's not that the answer is not there. It's just that you'd actually have to repair the damaged relationship you have with the Holy Spirit before He's willing to teach you much, and I can talk about that in a minute. The Holy Spirit provides me with divine instruction. The Holy Spirit provides me with divine direction. I love Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, one of the things that you'll notice about Jesus Christ when He came here on earth is that He lived within the boundaries that he's going to ask us to live within. He was sent by the Father. He said, I do always those things that please him. So he pleased the Father, and he was filled with the Spirit of God. Remember at his baptism, the Holy Spirit came as a dove and lit upon him, and he was led by the Spirit. By the way, I should live my life wanting to do the things that please God and being led by the Spirit of God. So Jesus came and showed us how to live as an example to us. And so Jesus returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And his entire life, he was Spirit-led. The Holy Spirit led him. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Remember Philip and that divine appointment with the Ethiopian eunuch? And the capital S Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. One of the most exciting things about developing a close relationship with the Spirit of God is, yes, the comfort that you get, but also the instruction that you get. And then along with the instruction, the divine direction that you receive. I believe in divine appointments. I believe the Holy Spirit of God is trying to get born-again Christians to divine appointments with seeking sinners. Sinners under conviction. Sinners ready to be saved. Wonder if what would have happened if Philip would have been so carnal as not to be listening to the Holy Spirit of God. And here the Holy Spirit has worked to get this man to the point where he's sitting in his chair reading his Bible wanting the answer. How can I accept some man should guide me? God uses men to win men to Christ. Yes, he had the Bible. Isaiah 53, best chapter in the Old Testament as far as understanding who Jesus was and salvation. But he still needed to pull a preacher away from a revival, stick him out in the desert so he could sit in the chariot and preach from that versus the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those divine appointments. When's the last time that God orchestrated, directed you specifically, and you could look back and say, you know what, that was the hand of God leading me to that person for that moment, for that time? Should not be unusual for you to give testimony to that. Dear Christian, you've been saved a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? Come on, answer the question within you. How long have you been saved? Can you not bear witness, bear testimony to even one time where in a supernatural way the Spirit of God directed you to somebody who needed Christ? One of the things I mentioned, I think just recently to Brother Reiser when we were talking about you soul winning was, I said, you know what? I do believe they do everything decently in order. I think you ought to be organized. We run a certain system. We systematically go through the communities. But let me say this. I said, listen, you be sure and pray about it. Because just because the next thing on the map is this section of town doesn't mean that necessarily that's where God wants you to go that weekend. I remember as I led you soul winning, there would be times when the next town should have been this one, and for some reason, for 2 weeks building up to it, God wouldn't let off my heart that we were supposed to go. And I said, well, that's out of order. You know, really, Jerry Ross, you know, come on, God, I've got my list here. Yeah, come on, I've got this thing organized. Don't mess it up. I got it organized here. You're going to throw everything out of order here, you know. And he come and bear witness with my heart. And I say, you know, I want to be Holy Spirit led. I want to take those soul winning teenagers where he wants them. Wow. And by the way, if you'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, I mean that. Bus workers, one of the great advantages to praying throughout the week is if you, and I'm not saying it happens every week, but you'd be shocked at how many times it does happen. Where all of a sudden a certain part of town, God lays it on your heart. A certain street, God will lay it on your heart. And you don't even know why. And you can't, every time you pray, in your mind, you go to that street. Well, I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but if that's happening, maybe you ought to go knock on the doors on that street. I'm not talking about spooky things. I'm talking about real things. And you better go knock on those doors because somebody's ready. He's trying to get you somewhere. Well, preacher, I had that experience one time, and I went and I knocked on all those doors, and there wasn't any great story. Matter of fact, there wasn't hardly anybody home. So what was that? You don't know what happened to that gospel track you left. By the way, you did leave a gospel track. Please tell me. You have no idea. Listen, our job is not to worry about the results. Our job is to be obedient. And whatever. And sometimes he lets you see the results of it. But isn't it exciting? What a blessing. To get up every morning and say, Holy Spirit of God, I want you to direct me today. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want to go where you want me to go. I don't want to be such a slave to my to-do list and my schedule that you can't interrupt things and just say, no, no, this afternoon you do this. And what a wonderful thing, those divine appointments. And the Holy Spirit's there. That's part of His job, is to orchestrate that. Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit provides me with divine power. What a blessing this is. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But ye shall receive, there it is, P-O-W-E-R. After, not before, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, folks, listen to me. One of the reasons you ought to keep a good relationship with the Holy Spirit of God is because He is the one that's going to empower you as you witness and as you preach and as you teach and as you lead your home. He will empower you. And so thank God for that. I've preached with the power of God and I've preached without the power of God. I'm going to be honest and transparent. Brother Ward, I see you shaking your head. Every preacher's been there. I've preached by myself and I've preached with him. I'd rather preach with him. Okay, I want to be filled with the Spirit. You good people are deserving of that, to have a pastor walk to the pulpit that's filled with the Spirit of God. I hate to say it, but in as many years as I've been preaching, there's times I've went up and you know what? You don't do it for a while and you can do it in the power of the flesh. Sunday school teachers, you're not careful. You can just do it long enough. You don't really have to, you don't think, pray. Remember when you prepared that first Sunday ever in that class? You did a lot of praying that week, didn't you? But, you know, now we're good. Got it, God. Got it. Nope. Won't bother you. I'm good. You better bother Him. You better get on your knees. Because... You know, back in those days, if you look back, some pretty amazing things happened, didn't it? And when we get to the point where we think we can do it in our own power, all of a sudden we may outwardly... Remember Samson got up and shook himself as before? Whence not that the Spirit of God had departed? Shook himself as before. I think we may have bus captains shaking themselves as before. You know, always be careful when you get to that point where you've done something just long enough that you think you don't need God anymore. And so we've got to stay after that. I want the power of God. I want the power of God when I go visit someone in the hospital. I want the power of God when I go soul winning. I want the power of God when I counsel somebody. I want the power of God when I preach and teach. I can't have that if I've got a strained relationship with the Spirit of God. And so thank God for His presence, but I don't want just His presence. I don't just want Him to be the earnest of my salvation, sealing me, although He's going to do that no matter what, how I treat Him. I want comfort when I need it, and instruction as I seek it, and direction every day, and power as God leads me and uses me. The Holy Spirit provides us these wonderful things. What a blessing these are. Amen. And then let me give you another blessing, and this is a blessing. Sometimes we don't think it is. But along with divine comfort, divine instruction, divine direction, divine power, the Holy Spirit provides me with divine correction. You know, conviction is a blessing. Conviction is a blessing. In John chapter 16, and we read the verses there where, let me have you turn back there if you would, where the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit coming down and bringing conviction to the lost world. And He does. In John chapter 16, verse 8, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. There it is, of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And He does do that to the lost world. But could I take you over to Galatians for a minute and show you that He also is real good about providing that same type of direction and instruction in our daily life? Some wonderful teachings here in Galatians chapter number 5, this idea of walking in the Spirit. Boy, we ought to teach some more on this and talk some more about this. Lord's kind of working on my heart, maybe the idea of sometime in 2012, I'm not going to say for sure, of teaching through the book of Galatians, but what a great book. And this I say then, verse 16, chapter 5, this I say then, walk in the, capital S, Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's true. You know when we fulfill the lust of the flesh? When we're not walking in the power of the Spirit of God. That's when we do. You know when we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh? When we walk in the power of the Spirit of God. And so walk in the Spirit. I wish I wish somebody in here just all of a sudden something would flip inside of them and they'd look at those four words and say, I want to find out what that means. I want to find out what that is. I want to just experience that before I die. Walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If we had time, we'd go back to Romans 7. Most of you know it. The inward war. Things I would do, I don't. The things I wouldn't do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Notice verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. For the works of the flesh. You know, everyone that wants to say, well, we're not under the law. Okay, then keep all that verse. And you won't have to worry about the law. You don't have to worry about the law if you keep that verse. But now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there's no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's those four words again. Walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, as you're living your Christian life, the Holy Spirit of God is going to try to help you walk in a designated path. And your flesh wants to get you off the path. So there's a war between the Spirit and the flesh. So the Spirit of God is going to do some correcting. You're going to veer off. You're going to start taking an exit off of the straight and narrow path. And he's going to say, don't take this exit. Well, I want to. I know, but I'm telling you, don't take it. And the Holy Spirit of God, we call that Holy Spirit conviction. We're contemplating a wrong decision, and you know what? The Holy Spirit of God begins to voice his disapproval, begins to try to teach us and show us and warn us. There's a better way. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't be like that. We say something, we feel the conviction of the Spirit. That didn't come from me. That didn't come from my direction. You didn't consult me. You're in the flesh. You need to stop. You're in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit, he speaks to born-again people. He speaks to them. And it worries me. People can just, live in the flesh. Flesh controls everything. They say, they do, they whatever. Never bothered by it, never convicted by it. Kind of look around like everybody else got a problem. I'm just saying, you might want to check something out. Okay, because that don't add up to the Scripture. The Holy Spirit of God is in the business of correcting the child of God. Thank God for divine correction. Man alive, that's not a bad thing. That is a wonderful thing in your life. Thank God that he convicts us. Thank God that he tells us when we're wrong. Thank God that he warns us when we're getting off the straight and narrow. Let's go over to one book over, Ephesians chapter 4. I'll leave you with some ending thoughts here. But what a blessing it is to have the Spirit of God. Now you got saved. Good. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 25. Here's some instruction. Chapter 4, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. The Holy Spirit's going to say, when you lie, he's going to say, now don't do that. Put that away. You tell the truth. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be not angry, or be ye angry and sin not. And there's righteous anger and there's unrighteous anger. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And you know what? Well, which one's which one? Oh, the Holy Spirit will tell you. He'll say, hey, that's not coming from me. That's junk. That's coming from your flesh. You need to get a handle on that. Okay? If you'll listen, you don't need me coaching you this. He's there to coach you in this. And neither give place to the devil. And about the time you do, you open a door where the devil can get in. The Holy Spirit says, shut that door. Don't let him get a foothold in your life. Don't do that. Don't open that area of your life. Verse 28, let him that steals steal no more. If you're in the habit of stealing before you got saved, you go to steal now that you are saved. And the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? All of a sudden you're bothered by something that never bothered you. Rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give, to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You start giving some corrupt communication, the Holy Spirit of God says, what are you doing? but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. So the Holy Spirit not only eliminates some type of communications, but he also teaches you and tutors you how to edify with your words, edify with your mouth. Look up here. Give me 30 seconds on this. Some of you need to mind your own business. Some of you need to stop going around saying things that just cause problems. I mean it. I don't remember deputizing anybody in here to walk around spouting off your opinion of how you think everybody else ought to live your life. And it's always the people that haven't figured out how to live their own life. Stop it. Did you hear me? Stop it. So I thought the Holy Spirit was supposed to tell me this. He is, but you're not listening, so I'm going to take a stab at it, all right? Stop it. Okay? The whole church don't need you to know your opinion on everything. This may shock you. They don't care. Neither do I. Stop it. Okay? I mean it. The words can hurt. Well, you know what I think? No, and I really don't care. If I want to know, I'll ask you. Amen. Okay? Authority is on every situation that's going on in the church. You got to walk around and tell everybody what they think. What are you doing? I'll tell you what I think. What? Focus in on you. Get yourself straightened out. Okay? But when corrupt communication, listen, the Holy Spirit of God is going to say, what are you doing? That wasn't kind. That wasn't nice. That wasn't appropriate. That's not your business. Stop. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, let's get to verse 30 then. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You grieve God. The Holy Spirit does tell you these things. He does try to correct you. And then if you don't listen to him, you start grieving, whereby ye are sealed into the day of redemption. He's not leaving you. He's not going anywhere. But when you start grieving him, you start grieving him when you do not listen to his divine correction. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another. When I see an act of kindness committed by a Christian, I know that that's an overflow of the Spirit of God having control in their life. When I see an act of unkindness, I know that that person is grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgiven you. And we won't go through and study all of it. But folks, listen to me. I think one of the great problems in Christianity today is that we have many Christians have a damaged relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. They've grieved the Spirit of God. In some instances, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit, written to a church, written to God's people, quench not the Spirit. They've grieved the Spirit to the point where they've quenched the Holy Spirit. He gets to the point where he says, I'll tell you what, you ever decide to listen to me, I'll talk to you. Until then, I'll just kind of just be quiet. You know everything. Come on. You ever gone through those periods of your life where just the Holy Spirit just gets quiet? I ain't saying nothing to you. You know everything. You ain't going to listen. You're not going to go forward. You're not going to kneel. You're too full of yourself. You ever get lonely and need a little comfort or instruction or direction or power, you might want to come see me. But see, what we think is we can ignore the correction and still get all the benefits of everything else. Well, we're still sealed to the day of redemption. We don't lose that, thank God. He remains the earnest of our salvation. But you know what? If we can't take correction, he'll shut down in all the other areas too. And so pretty soon, we just are trying to live our life with no divine direction, no internal voice, no still small voice. Go down that road for a ways. You know what you're going to find out? You make a bunch of dumb decisions, you say a bunch of dumb things, and you hurt a bunch of people. Before long, you're so off course. And you know why God lets you do that? Because he wants you to get you to the point where you get desperate enough to go back to where it all began and say, Spirit of God, it came a point where I didn't want to hear you anymore, but I need to hear you now. I need to hear you now. Say, preacher, how far do Christians go down this road? Sometimes they go to their own destruction. And I mean save people. Grieve not the Spirit of God. Quench not the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. I'm out of time. They tempted the Holy Spirit of God. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, now without remedy. Proverbs 29:1. God sends a suddenly into your life. That doesn't always mean he kills you. That means that he's going to let something be destroyed that will never be fixed. There's no remedy to it. He sends a suddenly into your life to get you to the point where he'll break you, so that you'll get to the point where you'll want to repair the broken, damaged relationship that the Holy Spirit of God. By the way, you come full circle, come all the way back and say, Holy Spirit, I want to listen to you now. I want to get help now. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to pick up right where he left off. Oh, are you serious about that? Yes, I'm serious. Good. I think the last time we talked, we were dealing with this. Now, can I say this? I've done that full circle thing. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. You're going to lose some things in that circle you may never get back. You're not going to lose your salvation. You're going to lose the fact that God will use you somewhere, somehow. But you can lose some stuff that can be destroyed. Suddenlies can come in. I mean, boy, if I had, had a dollar for every time I had to catch tears. And preacher, if I could only, if I could get in a time capsule, if I could find a rewind button. Well, I'm just going to go out for a little while. You don't know how long that little while will be. You just don't know. You don't know what you're going to miss, and you don't know. It's not worth it. You know, because it's not like you're ignoring somebody that wants bad for you. You're ignoring somebody that wants the best for you. So the Holy Spirit, when he corrects you, he's doing it to be a blessing to you. He's doing it to be a help to you. He's preparing you for something wonderful God wants to use you for. So let me just encourage all of us, no matter where we are in life, let's make sure that our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God is correct. You know why? Because he is a blessing. One of the greatest blessings that we have. And when you're right with God, right with the Spirit of God, the comfort flows and the instruction comes and the direction is supernatural. The power is divine. Nothing more amazing than when the Holy Spirit of God takes the attempts of a human vessel and turns them into something supernatural. I mean, I'm not trying to sound spooky, but I've preached messages where at some point in time I'm no longer preaching. I'm almost watching myself preach, knowing that God's in control. There's been times I've led people to Christ, and in the process of it's almost like I could stop and I'd keep going. And I'm watching God do a divine work. Man, I'm telling you, get a taste of that stuff. And whatever it is that's costing you your relationship to the Holy Spirit of God, it's not going to seem much worth it. And so if you have grieved the Holy Spirit in your life, I'm not saying this is your enemy. I'm saying this on your friend. I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm telling you, if you're saved, there's a member of the triune God inside of you, and he is so much better at directing your life than you'll ever be. Listen to him, follow him, and keep a good relationship to him. Make it so that all he has to do is whisper. That still small voice. He doesn't have to scream, he doesn't have to holler, he doesn't have to, flip your car over to get your attention. He can just whisper, and you say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, I needed to hear that. Thank you, I wanted to hear that. I'll take care of that immediately. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving of yourself, dear God, because when you gave us the Spirit, you gave of yourself. Jesus said this, which is really astounding. The disciples were in the daily presence of the Son of God, and yet he said, it is expedient for you that I go away. So he was literally saying, every minute I'm here, I'm robbing you of something that's going to be better for you. And so the Holy Spirit is such a gift. Such a gift, and he offers so much of Christ and offers so much instruction and power and comfort and direction that Jesus said this. He said, greater works than these will you do, because I go to my Father. And he said, I'm going to send you a comforter, and if you'll listen to him. You think the things that you've watched me do in these 3 years are astounding? You have no idea what the Spirit of God could lead you to do. And be a part of and be witness to. God, I pray that we would hunger for the Spirit-filled life. I pray that we Baptist people would learn to what it means to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, be sensitive to it. Lord, if we ever do, it'll never lift us up with pride. The most humbling thing in the world is to experience the power and the leading and the guidance of a supernatural God, to understand how frail that relationship is, and how important it is that we stay right, and how quickly we can mess it up. So, Lord, keep us humble and keep us seeking, and keep us seeking the fullness of the Spirit. If there's someone here without Christ as their Savior, Lord, bring them under Holy Spirit conviction. If there's someone who's truly saved, but they've damaged their relationship to the Spirit of God, help them to find their way back. Help them to seek Him out and talk to Him. Reestablish that relationship. Bless our invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.